You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
The Doug Wright Show, where Utah news breaks on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, we got to lighten up. We got to have some fun here. And many of us, myself included, along with family, we're kind of kicking around different ideas and things to do, places to see, and where to go in the state of Utah. And I thought it was interesting. This is at KSL.com. Which Utah attraction is best? With the weather warming up and summer fast approaching, it's the perfect time to plan a road trip. Now, we have this on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page right now, and we invite you to participate. And which Utah attraction is best? You can leave your idea, you can comment, you can vote in the KSL.com poll. And I thought, really, to set the stage, because we're talking Utah here. We're talking within the boundaries of Utah. So we need our song as motivation.
Land of the mountains high, Utah, we love thee. Land of the sunny sky, Utah, we love thee. Far in the glorious west, throned on the mountain's crest, in robes of state we're dressed, Utah, we love thee.
Well, I hope everybody stood right then, unless, of course, you were driving, then it would be wise to stay seated. So this is the time for us to determine where do we go. Now, I want to hear from you. It's kind of a bracketed thing. When you go to KSL.com, you'll see the brackets, and each week we'll be updating this. So basically, round 32 is that tomorrow? Which dates are we talking about here? I'm looking at it. I think I obviously should have done more homework on this. Round 32 will be posted, then following by the Sweet 16 on May 16th. Yeah, okay, now I'm back into it. Then it will be the Elite 8 on May 18th. The Final Four will take place on May 23rd and the Championship Round on May 25th. Remember when we did this with Best Cities a little while ago? Well, and St. George, by the way, came up named Utah's Best City. Now, there was a population gauge on that. Otherwise, that certainly would have been Eureka. And I don't think Eureka is on this short list of 64 best attractions in Utah, which, by the way, is a mix of parks and ski resorts and museums. And more of the attractions were recommended by the Utah Office of Tourism as either being among the most visited places in the state or a must-see stop. So the burden now falls on your shoulders. I want to hear from you at KSL Talk, 575-8255. What is the must-see attraction in the state of Utah? Now, we can take that two different directions. If you were to have visitors come in from out of state that had never been here before, and they said, okay, I want to see the number one thing, what would it be? Now, for you, a native of Utah, who has perhaps, or someone who has lived in Utah for some time, and you want to see something new, maybe you've got this destination you've always wanted to hit, what would it be? All right, KSL Talk is our number, 575-8255. From Utah County, it is 470-KSL-1 and 670-KSL-1 from Weber and the northern parts of Salt Lake, northern parts of Davis County and Weber County. There we go. I got distracted reading one of the comments that's up here. I'm kind of wondering where that came from. All right. I want to hear from you. Now, for me, oh, man, I have so many places that I love in this state. When I was a kid, do you know what I absolutely loved? If my grandpa and my mom and grandma said that we were going to dinosaur land, that was it for me. As a kid, I loved dinosaur land. I loved to go up to the quarry, which was relatively new at that time. I loved to stay in the motels in Vernal and swim in the pools. That was heaven for me. Now, as an adult, I have to admit, rediscovering some of our state parks and our national parks, I just absolutely love that. My son and I, not long ago, we did Zion and Bryce. I absolutely love Bryce. I have a really good friend down there with Ruby's Inn, and also he's the former mayor of Tropic. And he really, really pointed out some great, great things in Bryce Canyon that I love. But I have to tell you, I think one of our underappreciated national parks in this great state is Capitol Reef. I love Capitol Reef. And there are other things, too. Here's a place I'll bet you've never – well, I'd be curious. And if you have, back me up on this. Paul Bunyan's Woodpile. How many of you have ever been to Paul Bunyan's Woodpile? It's out in Juab County. It's in between Eureka and Jericho, a little closer to the Jericho end of it. And it's an easy hike. It's a nice hike, but an easy hike. And you go up and you see these old lava tubes that are stacked up like cordwood. And now I have to admit, when I took my boys up there many, many years ago, and we walked up and we rounded a corner, and I thought, well, now, is that it? I mean, I see it, but is that it? Well, you hike a little bit further up the trail, and all of a sudden, wow, you go, okay, now this is really cool. So there are just a few things that pop to mind for me. I want to hear from you. KSL Talk is our number, 575-8255 from Utah County. It's 470-KSL1 and 670-KSL1 from Weber in the northern parts of Davis County. I got to stop giving the phone numbers while I'm reading some of the texts. This person said Delicate Arch in Arches National Park, no question. Seriously, that is one of the coolest places in the universe, and the hike is so much fun up there. This person said, they've got to visit the Zion Curtain. Ooh, a little snarkiness there. Goblin Valley. Boy, this person said Goblin Valley. Absolutely. And have you ever been up at Goblin Valley? Now the park theoretically closes, what is it, 8 o'clock at night, something like that? But if you go up there at a time of year when it's just getting dark and the sun is going down, around Goblin Valley. Just amazing. All right, let's take a brief break. When we come back, what are the best attractions in the state of Utah? You have absolutely got to see this. Inquiring minds want to know. 575-8255 is our number. Coming up, too, we'll be talking about marijuana.
Doug Wright. Doug Wright, interrupting everything to cover breaking news. You'll hear it first on KSL News Radio.
Land of the mountains high, Utah, we love thee. Land of the sunny sky, Utah, we love thee.
Okay, what is the place in the state of Utah that you are dying to see again, that you would take a visitor to this state to go see? It's the must-see.
Utah, we love thee.
All right, let's go to our phone lines. KSL Talk is our number, 575-8255. By the way, somebody just said, now, where is it that the Paul Bunyan's Woodpile is again, and the stack of, well, they're lava tubes, and it's out in Juab County. And it's on the road if you head out of Eureka and you head on down like you're going to the sand dunes. It'll be on the left up there in the mountains just this side of Jericho. You can also come in through Nephi, and then you'd head in that way as well. You can Google it. I just Googled it. There's some really cool pictures. But honestly, the pictures really don't do it justice. Really is quite cool. I saw that sign for years and years, and then it was about 25 years ago. I thought, I got to go see this thing, and it's pretty cool. Don is on the line in Syracuse. Hi, Don. You're on KSL.
Calf Creek Falls is a great place.
Death Creek Falls. Now,
Calf.
Oh, Calf. I'm sorry. Yeah, Calf Creek.
South of Capitol Reef.
South of, I have never been there. Tell me about it.
Well, you hike into it a mile or so, and it's a beautiful fall with a pool for swimming, and it's nice in the warm weather to swim in that area, and it's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife suggests, however, that her favorite might be Tony Grove.
Really? Now, where's that?
That is up Logan Canyon, just almost into Idaho. It's a very high alpine lake, lots of trees, hiking, fishing, boating, nice campsite.
Isn't that amazing, the beautiful things we have here in the state of Utah?
It is.
We really do have just incredible spots. Hey, I've got to take you up on Calf Creek Falls, right?
Yep, Google it.
All right. Hey, as a matter of fact, we've got a picture of it up right now because our producer did exactly that and put a picture of Calf Creek Falls up, and that is beautiful. I am surprised. You know, everybody's texting in. I'm getting tons of texts and messages on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page. But I'd love to hear from you. Get the descriptions from you. Where would you take a visitor? 575-8255 is our number. And what's on your short list of places to visit this summertime? All right, let's go to our Doug Wright Show text message board. And this person said, you've got to see the copper mine. And, you know, the interesting thing about the copper mine right now is that there is not a formal visitor center because of that slide several years ago. And as many of you know, they kind of move the visitor center around right now, depending on what the activity is in the mine. So right now there isn't a formal visitor center. But, you know, if you want to see the copper mine, I don't know how many have ever gone up either Butterfield Canyon or from the Tooele side. You come up Middle Canyon. And then right there where you kind of hit that saddle and you're going to drop down the other side, there is a road that goes to the north. And it goes along the crest of the Ochres, and then there is an overlook up there too. Now, you don't get the history, you don't get all the information, you don't get the gift shop, you know, things like that. But it is breathtaking. The view not only of the mine, but the view of the Tooele Valley, the view of the Salt Lake Valley, it is really remarkable up there. If you've never done that, and the road is much better than it used to be, although even back in the day, I think I drove up there in a Chevrolet sedan. It's a little sketchy, but I did it. Let's go to Jason in Kaysville. Hi, Jason. You're on KSL.
Hi, Doug. You just stole my treat.
Oh, no. No. The copper mine view?
Yeah, up Bingham. Just go up to the top there. It is just beautiful. But the other thing I want to say is it's really a shame that a lot of the really neat places that made Utah, Utah, we've kind of abandoned those, like Saltaire, the swimming areas at Saltaire, even the copper mine. They don't seem to be in a real big hurry to get the new visitor center going, and just a lot of the things that really made us.
Yeah.
As we've gotten bigger and people from outside have come in, they just don't seem to see that as a priority.
You know, whenever anybody who has had a long legacy here in Utah, and you go back in the old family photos, am I right or am I right on this? Odds are there are old family photos that are taken at Saltaire or Garfield Beach, places like that. And when I was a kid, you know, the old remnants of Saltaire, I can actually remember, barely remember going to Saltaire with my aunt and also my mom and my cousins. It's just one of those little shadowy memories of when I was a kid. I remember the great big roller coaster out there, which I was too young to ride. But then it just went into disrepair, sat there, finally burned down. And it's a shame because somebody told me that Saltaire was second only to Yellowstone for places that people wanted to visit out here in the West.
Yeah, it's a shame. I remember when I was a kid going, we went on field trips out to the lake and went swimming and played around. And
yeah,
just, I mean, before they built all the reservoirs during the water project, that's where everybody recreated, skied out there. People don't realize you can take a motorboat out there. They have wonderful cleanup facilities at the main marina, and it's beautiful out on the middle of the lake. There's no bugs. It's just gorgeous out there.
Yeah, it's become more of a sailing lake, hasn't it? And then, of course, up at Willard Bay, there's a lot of motorboating that goes on up there in kind of that more confined area. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, Jason. KSL Talk is our number, and let's go to Bob on the line in Alpine. Okay, Bob, where's the place you've got to go in Utah this year?
Well, sometimes we overlook things because they're in our backyard, and so I love to take people to American Fork Canyon. You've got the Timpanogos Cave. You have the back of Timpanogos. You go to Sundance. There's tons of hiking. There's tons of off-road vehicle recreation. So, and it's just beautiful. It's just all the hiking and all the vistas you get. And, you know, the infrastructure maybe needs an upgrade because it does get a little bit crowded, but it's just beautiful, and it's right, you know, it's 20 minutes away from American Fork or Alpine or Highland.
Well, you're right. To take those roads, and whether you go up over Sundance and come down into Provo Canyon or go up over Cascade Springs, and I'll tell you, on the paved roads, to take that ride on a motorcycle is absolutely breathtaking. That is a great, great ride. Hey, I appreciate your phone call. By the way, this is on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page right now. This person said, hey, I'd take people out to Eureka, Doug. Well, you know, Eureka is just so obvious that, you know, I hadn't mentioned it yet, but let's see. This person said Angel's Landing in Zion and Mirror Lake Highway. Oh, isn't the Mirror Lake Highway just breathtaking? And then this person said, and this is interesting, you know, I had not thought of this, but this person is right. You know, the mudslide that buried the town of Thistle, it is eerie and it's stunning. When Ian was going to Snow College, you know, we drove past that, I don't know how many times, going that way into San Pete County. And it is, it's really eerie. You take that turn off, like, you know, so you can head on into Mount Pleasant and San Pete. And, you know, the buildings that are there, some that are kind of half submerged. And yeah, it is. Warner Lake Campground near Haystack Mountain near Moab. Boy, there's just so many great, great places to see in the state of Utah. We're going to leave this up for a while. And don't forget, you can go to KSL.com and you can play the brackets. And we'll, just like we did with the best city in Utah, we'll come up with the very, very best attraction in the state of Utah. It's on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page and also at KSL.com.
The Doug Wright Show, where Utah news breaks. On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We just got a great text, and I feel like a real duh that I didn't think of this. And somebody said, hey, the Golden Spike National area out there, the Golden Spike would be the perfect place to visit right now, especially in light of the fact Golden Spike Monument, especially since today is the actual day, at least of the calendar, May 10th, it was 1869. May 10th of 1869, the Golden Spike was driven, and everybody always says Promontory Point. It was actually Promontory Summit. Boy, you know, you mentioned Promontory Point, and all of the railroad freaks just go insane. But that's when the Jupiter and the number 119, or 19, which one was it? Now, I'll get all of the railroad freaks just going, Doug, you dummy. It was the Jupiter, and I think it was the 119, wasn't it? Did I get that right? Anyway, what an amazing thing. Why didn't I think of that? I should have thought of that. And it is so much fun. I haven't been out there for probably about 10 years, but when they bring those beautiful engines out that are recreations of those historic engines, it is an amazing, just an amazing place. One thing that I wanted to talk about today, we just got this news release from Relaine Fairclough at AAA, and the headline is Marijuana-Related Fatal Crashes Double After Legalization. They're specifically talking about Washington State. So I wanted to check in with Relaine. And Relaine, as I read some of these statistics and some of the numbers, boy, this is not good news. It's basically just an increase in impaired driving, which leads to more accidents and leads to more fatalities. Tell us a little bit about the statistics that are in the press release.
Well, you're right. It's marijuana is just another element that's coming more and more into the focus because so many more states are legalizing it, either for recreational or for medical use. And so it's something that we need to look at because we know it is very impairing you know, when you're behind the wheel. And what we found out is in Washington State, marijuana, the fatal crashes, marijuana involved fatal crashes doubled from 8 to 17% in between 2013 and 2014. And 1 in 6 drivers involved in a fatal crash in 2014 had recently used marijuana. And so this makes us, you know, in the traffic safety business, wonder how we can best prevent these kinds of crashes or effectively enforce the laws for impaired driving. And marijuana, from all the scientific evidence, is different from alcohol. So it's not as easy as alcohol to just set a limit. And then because you know a BAC limit of 0.08, you are significantly impaired. But that doesn't necessarily happen with marijuana.
That caught my attention. There's no science showing that drivers reliably become impaired at a specific level of marijuana in the blood, and then marijuana can affect people differently, making it really challenging to develop consistent and fair guidelines. And then it was also pointed out that high THC levels may drop below the legal thresholds before a test is administered to a suspected impaired driver. So there are some liabilities. What are the numbers actually telling us? How dramatic is the increase up in Washington?
Well, we know that nationwide, 13% of weekend drivers have evidence of recent marijuana use, and that is up from 9%. So we're seeing, across the whole country, we're seeing increased use of marijuana. And what AAA is saying is that, more importantly than the levels, than the level in the blood, you need to train the law enforcement officers to recognize impaired driving, to recognize marijuana use, physical impacts of marijuana use on the driver, and also do those roadside tests that we hear about, you know, the turn, walk and turn and touching your nose and things like that. But there are specific guidelines, and they're outlined in two nationwide like the Advanced Roadside Impairment, Driving Enforcement, and Drug Evaluation and Classification. They outline the training that officers need to have so they can truly identify an impaired driver. Because we know that more frequent users of marijuana have blood levels that are high, but they're not impaired because they maintain those blood levels for quite a while. Well, an infrequent user of marijuana may have a lower blood level, but have much more extreme evidence of impairment. And then also, the 2 hours that it takes to get a warrant and a blood test for a more infrequent user, those levels go down very quickly, and so you will not be able to find the true level of impairment if you only look at THC levels.
Isn't it interesting, with all of the progress that we're making on some fronts, there's always something new to deal with. And you look at now the distracted driving that comes from texting, cell phone usage, other electronic devices, that was something that we weren't even talking about when you and I first started talking about highway safety. You know, back in the day, we've been doing this for a long, long time. And then, too, with the increase now of prescription drugs that are being abused, that, too, is a real impairment. And now with marijuana laws becoming, if not lax, actually legalization in Colorado and elsewhere, it's kind of a whole new ballgame.
Well, you know, when legislators look at setting laws about impaired driving dealing with drugs, they really ought to put aside the money right at the beginning to train all the police, all the law enforcement officers in the state with these curriculums, so they really do know how to effectively identify an impaired driver.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, like I said, with physical evidence, but also how they are conducting themselves. And then you can couple that with THC levels. But the first thing is to train those officers. Because I know in Washington, they said they would get the money from the training from fines they collected from the marijuana infractions. Well, that put the training back a few months, you know, several months.
Boy, absolutely. Yeah, if you're going to count on the funding from the fines, that means that there's a problem before you have the funding.
So, you know, so up front, you need to do that training. You need to you need to put the money aside, you know, or to put the money there for the training for the officers, and then have them all go out, and so everybody's on equal footing, and you know, you don't want a really impaired, unsafe driver to get off, nor do you want someone who is not impaired to be wrongly convicted. So this is tricky.
Yeah, boy, tricky. Absolutely.
And it's subtle, and you've really got to, you know, you just can't say, okay, we want a 0.5% or whatever, you know, they may, you know, arbitrary per se law. They need to really do a very intricate job in putting these laws out.
Rolaine, I always appreciate you joining us here at KSL and quoting from the news release. Washington legalized marijuana in December 2012. Since then, the percentage of drivers involved in fatal crashes who recently used marijuana more than doubled from 8 to 17% from 2013 to 2014, and 1 in 6 drivers involved in fatal crashes in 2014 had recently used marijuana. Interesting. We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll talk more undoubtedly about that issue and other impairments while we drive here at KSL News Radio. Coming up in just a moment, we had an individual that I really wanted to talk to regarding great places to visit in the state of Utah. Plus, we've had some really, really good suggestions, and yes, it was Union Pacific number 119 along with the Jupiter, and it had totally escaped me, and I so appreciate the texter who said, hey, this would be a real good day to visit Promontory Summit and the site out there of the driving of the Golden Spike because of reenactments on this most significant day, because after all, it was May 10th of 1869. That's really, you know, how we talk about B.C. and, you know, A.D. It's kind of that way with the history of the Intermountain West, but particularly the history of Utah. There is before May 10th of 1869, and then there is after May 10th of 1869, and the history of our great state changed dramatically on that date. It's 11:47. Let's go ahead and take a break. Plus, Jay McFarland will be joining us, and I understand later on this afternoon he's going to be talking more about Facebook and those stories that are trending. Yeah, we'll get into that again.
The Doug Wright Show. Doug scores big-time interviews on Utah's most important stories on KSL News Radio.
We've been talking about some of the things that are absolute musts for this upcoming season. When we take off for a long weekend, whatever it is in the state of Utah, we have people here visiting, and this is the, you've got to see this in the state. And it's on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page. It's also at KSL.com. They're doing the brackets on it, so we'll eventually, you know, whittle that down to the point where this is the best attraction in the state of Utah. And a little while ago, Wally gave us a phone call. I wanted to chat with him quickly. Okay, Wally, what is the best place to visit in the state of Utah?
Oh, there are many wonderful places. I just sort of have a bucket list. And one thing that I've come within a few miles of and just haven't done that I really want to see is Calf Creek Falls down in the Escalante area.
Boy, when that was described earlier, I thought, man, I got to get there too.
Yeah, and Hole in the Rock, and I've been there.
Yeah.
I talked to you once before when I was on my way to Eureka.
Yeah.
And Trout Creek about our Rotary Dictionary project.
Sure, sure.
Well, that has led me into finally saying, wow, I want to visit every town on the official Utah State roadmap. And so the Dictionary Project has taken me to Aneth and LaSalle and you name it, Trout Creek, downtown Trout Creek. And
have you been to Grouse Creek?
No, and that's fun I've got to do. I do Grouse Creek and Park Valley and Yost. And I somehow got to get to Lucin.
Yeah.
And so I have about 15 or 20 towns left to go in the state, and it's going to happen this summer.
You know, listening to you talk, Wally, reminds me of a conversation with our former governor, Olene Walker. And I remember Governor Walker once told me, and I think this was on the air, And she said, you know, Doug, I'm down now to the point where there are just a couple of Utah cities that I've never visited. And you just mentioned one of them, Wally, and it was Yost. I'll never forget. Every time I hear somebody mention Yost, I think of our former governor, Olene Walker, and her desire to go ahead and hit all of the cities here in the state of Utah. Hey, Jay McFarland joins us right now, and I understand there's a little more unfolding around this story of, you know, the trending news stories or the trending things on Facebook. Are they really trending?
Sometimes. Sometimes they're trending. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And I kind of was under the impression that this was all just an algorithm, right? Some algorithm.
That's
that
what
says,
I thought, too.
Yeah. But when you think about it, if you just have an algorithm, there may be things trending that are not good, that they don't want to display on their page.
Right.
So they interjected this panel of people, and they look at them, and they look for credibility. They look for whether or not it's news, because it says trending news. And so now there's a couple of people. They're anonymous. I'm doing the air quotes, Doug.
Yes.
Anonymous. Who used to work in this department, who say that routinely they were told to leave out things like Mitt Romney news,
right.
CPAC news, you know, all of these types
more
of things.
More conservative Republican type things.
Yes, leave that stuff out. And the other thing it says they were told is that sometimes if there's not a lot of cool things trending, feel free to inject news stories into the trending topics, those also of a more liberal nature. So
can we just flat make things up?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
As long as they fit your political agenda, that's
good.
What news is today, right?
Right.
Forget the whole credibility thing.
Yeah,
and, you know, journalists, come on.
Yeah.
So the news out today is, first of all, Facebook is flat out denying it. They say that
right.
they seek for objectivity in all things. And now members of the Senate saying they want a hearing. They want to have an investigation. I think ultimately Facebook owns their product. Can't they? Can they push this out the way they want to?
They can kind of do anything they want.
Ultimately, I think they can. For me, the bigger concern is if you look at a lot of the polling out there, more and more people view Facebook as their only source of news.
I know.
And that's bad in any – you trust any single organization,
that's right.
You're hurting yourself.
This is coming up.
Yes.
All right.
We'll dive into it at 12:35.
Sounds good. Jay McFarland with us here at KSL News Radio. That does it for today's Doug Wright Show. Thanks so much for being along. And tonight, when you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.
If you-